how exactly did Huntress get on the Pagan Fest tour? I would imagine Napalm Records pushed for it. You could consider yourself kind of the odd band out, given the nature of the other bands, obviously like Arcona and Teresa's and Hailstorm. So how did Huntress wind up on the tour?
You know, surprisingly enough, it didn't have that much to do with Napalm pushing for it. We started working with Rock the Nation and Mauricio Arcano from Cataclysm for a minute. And he was like, God, it's a great idea. It's pre-album. I'll push it. And, you know, he talked to the label into putting up some tour support and, you know, and doing it that way. But, you know, and then since everything has changed, I mean, we're growing out of our shoes every 2 weeks. It's so weird, you know. Now we're booked to go do this Dragon Force thing immediately after the Pagan Fest. We have 2 days to get back to this, actually the same venue for New England Metal Hardcore Fest. Mm-hmm. And then it's 3 weeks with them. So, and we're actually working with Tim Borer from Agency Group now, which is pretty exciting.
So how do you put it into words where a band like Huntress, you know, a newer band that your first record's not even out yet, you've already landed a decent metal tour, the Dragon Force thing, you know, Maurizio, he books some decent tours. How does a band that's not even had their first record out yet, it's almost like so many bands struggle for years, put out albums for years, and they don't get the break, they don't get the tour. You guys come in and get, do you feel that just everything fell into place? Was there that one thing that just kind of set everything in motion? I mean, what was it that led a band like Huntress to this point? Because, again, you're a new band, first album's not even out yet, man. You're already... They're already, you know, I've already heard a lot about Spelleader, and it's like, it's not even out yet, and you're getting these tours. So, can you point to anything specific? Is there one person that kind of, what happened? I mean,
you know, it's not to say it went without struggle, but, you know, we've done a lot of thinking and philosophizing over the years. I've been playing in metal bands forever, you know, and I've been doing my basement tours and self-booked bar shit forever, and... You know, we met up with Jill. I was in this band Professor with Ian, their guitar player, for years. And we met Jill, and we started, we were like, yeah, this is going to be fun, you know? We'll start this project out. We'll still keep our Hessian just doing tons of crazy riffs metal band for the side, and let's try and do something with the Hot Babe, you know? And then we started going, that's lame. And she didn't even want to do that. And she wanted to keep it weird and super heavy also. And we ended up just dropping the other act. But we went for years trying to make records. Not trying to make records, but we did tours. We did an EP before. Something that most people don't know is that we actually even recorded the entire Spelleader album once before. And with a different drummer and bass player, and in a different situation, and we were just like, it's not right. And we just scratched it. You know, it's weird in this age, you know, you can't just doing it the old-fashioned way and just getting out there and just getting some elbow grease on it is impossible because there's so many fucking bands. It's impossible to just, like, slowly build it up. And, you know, we've been working, we got two dudes turning 30 this trip, you know, so we've all been working at it for a long time, and we don't have another 15 years of slowly working our way up the ranks. So we stepped back and went, okay, let's think outside, think of a new approach, you know. And so we went, and, you know, a lot of bands, what they'll do is they'll take all their money, and they're like, and this is what we did the first time, we took everything we had saved, and we're like, we're going to record a record with our limited budget, and we're going to print vinyl, and we're going to be awesome. And then it was like, this isn't gonna shake the ship, you know? So we went back, and we're like, all right, next round we're doing two songs as good as possible, like, and we're going to make an epic video for it. And that's really what made the difference. It was like, you have to make a serious impact as opposed to a mild one continually, you know? And that video just made it for us. I mean, granted, we were just talking with the drummer how our 1 year anniversary with him, and that's essentially the beginning of this band, in our eyes, is the day we get back from Dragon Force, and the day the record comes out, pretty much. So
the
amount of shit we've done in the last year is pretty incredible, you know?
And considering our first album is not even out yet, and by the time it does come out yet, you guys are going, oh, we can take it right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's no denying that having a smoking hot babe as your front singer is, it hurts. You know, it's awesome, and it's done wonders for us because it gets the attention. But there's a lot of that out there, and if
there is a lot of it. You got to back it up with music. You got to back it up with music.
Then you're not getting anywhere, you know. So I'm not gonna say like any group of ugly dudes in a van can just make the most epic video and song of all time and enjoy the rapid success that we've had. But I really do think that that's the way to do it, you know. Trying to make your own record and do it like it's still 1982 is just—it's just not that era anymore, you know. So she got the attention, and we've had to back it up. And she's amazing, you know. She's not your average chick. I mean, she's sleeping out in this van with us every night and roughing it, and we're all broke. We moved out of our houses. Like, we're on really incredible tours, but by no means is it the standard that your average hot babe would like to live in, you know?
That's living a metal life.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've got a pretty awesome team, you know, and then besides that, you know, we played a show at the beginning of January, like actually 2 days before we went into the studio to record a record, and Full Metal Jackie, are you familiar with who she is? She was at the show and has since taken on management for us, and she's amazing. She's a total powerhouse. And the things that she's put together for us are pretty incredible also. You know, we're a bunch of newbies, you know, trying to figure our way through this insane metal world that is just shark circling everywhere, ready to bite your legs off. And we saw our fair share of those, but she's been awesome in protecting us and guiding us the right way.
Well, along that lines, and this would tie into what I do, do you see any, do you see radio playing any role in helping Huntress out? Because let's face it, you know, there's that stigma attached to radio that, you know, who cares about radio? You know, I was just interviewing Hailstorm, and there were a lot of comments about, nobody listens to radio, who cares about radio? Well, actually, you know, Hailstorm, that was the second most played album at our station last year, in 2011. And people will listen if you give them a reason to listen. You know, so when I play new bands, and actually the feedback I get, that's a huge part of why people tune into what I do, not just live or streaming live, because I've got listeners all over the planet. You know, and I podcast my stuff too. The big thing is playing new and unknown music. That's a huge thing. So I pride myself on, if I get new stuff, I'm going to put it out there. You know, new to me too. And I'm a pretty knowledgeable guy in metal. I've been in metal since the 80s. So,
yeah.
But even new stuff to me, I'm like, I got to play it for people. So while from a radio programmer's point of view, it's a pretty big deal. From a band member's point of view, how do you feel about radio, knowing it's not the old days, knowing the internet is where most people really put their attention and focus, besides touring, of course? Do you see radio playing a role in Huntress at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably going to end up on a long tangent here, because one of my other theories in the way that we've approached everything is that with more technology and with more and less mainstream radio comes more subgenres, you know, and so you're going to have, you have a whole group of people that only listen to pagan metal with fiddles. I don't like fiddle pedal or metal. I want bagpipe metal, you know? And you have every kind of subgenre of every kind of music possible. Mm-hmm. But it's a possibility because there's a blog for every one of those types of metal, and there's a radio station or an online streaming radio station that's able to do that also, you know? So you end up focusing more on the individuals and going straight to them as opposed to the masses. So we're not thinking that, oh, our big single's going to be on Kate Rock, that's the big channel in LA, you know. But, you know, we take every opportunity we can for every press, and, like, you know, and you have to spread the seed somehow. And I think that radio's a great way for us.
Remember when radio was actual radio? Now you hear radio and it's somebody doing something on the internet.
Yeah, and they're
busy. I mean, we're an actual FM station. It's like, I actually find myself having to explain to people when I present myself as being in radio, it's FM radio. You know, we're an actual radio station, not just a guy in a basement, which is great. I love it. I listen to some of that myself.
Yeah.
It's like FM radio. Yeah, there actually are FM radio stations that are not owned by Clear Channel, that are not, you know, programming the same 10 artists constantly all the time. You know, we're independent. We're not owned by somebody telling us what to play.
The big stations where I'm from, man, they haven't played this shit like Sublime and Red Hot Chili Peppers since 92, you know? They haven't changed their tune at all, you know? And so there's so many outlets, and while each outlet has potentially less listeners, there's more outlets. So the more outlets you can cover, the better, you know? And FM radio is still a big deal. People still have cars. People still have radios, and still people don't feel like fiddling with their iPods or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly hopping in cars with buddies, and they have some radio station on. You know,
the feedback I get is me playing the new stuff, the unknown, the really obscure stuff. It's because I do the work for them, so they tune in, and then they don't have to go find that stuff.
Yeah,
the feedback I get is like, I can tune into what you do, whether live, streaming online, or podcasts after the fact. It's, you know, you do the work for me.
I've read that people say that what's going to really be the wave of radio and even the music industry are the really people that are with it that are doing the filtering for you. Essentially, radio is almost going to be a filter. So they're going to be like, dude, I trust 106.1 because they don't play all the bullshit. They go through all the nonsense and they play me the rad stuff. And
yeah.
Because there's a lot of nonsense to filter through.
And actually, I will admit that I don't get too much negative feedback about it, but part of the reason why I have the loyal following that I do is not for what I do play, but for what I don't play.
Yeah.
You know, they know I'm not going to spin the latest metalcore.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm not going to, you know, they know I stick to the true genres of metal.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get, you know, whatever Roadrunner Records is trying to sell as being metal just because they're heavy. You know?
Yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, it's kind of like a filter in a way. It's like people listen because they know what they're not going to get, not just what they're going to get.
Absolutely.
And they know that a band like Huntress, they're going to get exposed to. You know, that way they don't have to go and worry about, another band I got to check out. Well, you know, if they're listening, they're going to hear a cut and decide for themselves.
Yeah.
How'd you think your performance went tonight?
Well, good. You know, besides smashing my finger on a caster right before getting up there and breaking a string and Jill trampling through all my pedals because we had about 4 square.
You got to fire her now.
She's fired.
You can't allow that. That can't happen.
You were Dr. Pay on these kids around
time. Dr. Pay.
You get less than nothing, man.
All right, so if, let's say people hear your music or people have heard about you, people really, really into you, but they can't see you live, how do they get in touch with you guys?
How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. What's the best way to get directly to the band?
Probably the interweb. You know, we got Facebook and all those.
You do have a band website or do you just stick to Facebook?
We have HuntressKills.com, but Facebook is where it's at anymore, I guess. You know, I hilariously didn't have a Facebook page I never had a Facebook page, and then our manager's like, well, you have to be involved with the bands at this time, and so I managed to log in, and, you know, I haven't done too much with it, but Jill's really active with the band, so, you know, we're at Huntress Kills is our extension of the web URL, so anybody, she's really communicative and totally sweet, and she's out here every night talking with fans and taking pictures.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, that goes a long way, going directly to the fans.
It really does, and I think that's the way it's got to be anymore, you know? We're not expecting radio or monster venues to be some sort of shield between everybody. It's the real deal. I think it's fun.
That's metal, you know? Going directly to the fans, that's metal.
Yeah.